We will study the second and last chapters of the prophet Haggai. The lesson is divided into three sections. The message of encouragement, the fourth message looks to consequences, and the fifth message to the reward. In the seventh month, now the first message came in the sixth month, and the second ended, verse 15 of chapter 1, in the sixth month. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month. Now from the 15th to the 22nd days of the seventh month was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now this message came to God's people right in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles. During the Feast of Tabernacles, they were supposed to celebrate the fruit harvest. The grapes and the fruit of every kind had now been gathered in. It was the feast of the harvest home. They were living in temporal mansions surrounding the Father's house. It was a great concourse of rejoicing. And the Lord said to Haggai, "Speak to the governor, Zerubbabel, and to the high priest Joshua, and to the remnant of the people." See, the message is not to the leaders only, either in the government or in the church, high priest. It's to everyone. Who is left among you? Now, there were several people. The temple had been destroyed in 586, and this was 520. The time lapse is not all that great. There were still some old men who saw the original glory of Solomon's temple, built with cedars that Hiram had sent from Lebanon, built with the most skillful artisans that could be mustered from the surrounding nations, particularly from Hiram and his foreman Huram. Now they see amateurs who have been prisoners for decades taking the crude axes they've got and cutting down second stage trees and making a temple out of it. And it seemed to these old timers, in comparison, as nothing. And these old-timers evidently couldn't do too much work, but they could do a lot of criticizing. They were sidewalk foremen, and all they could point out was the unpleasant comparison. And the Lord says, "Now be strong." Now the Lord must have seen that this second temple was no comparison with the first. First temple was the most magnificent building ever built, Ellen White seems to indicate. He doesn't say that this is better. He lets it be. He ignores that. He says, "Some of you are making comparisons, yet now, by contrast with those comparisons, be strong." Then he repeats it, "Be strong." And then he repeats it again, "Be strong, all the people, and work." In other words, the best antidote to discouragement is work. We may think of the pioneers. We may think of parts of the world where 1,000 people are baptized in a day. And we may be citizens of a country where we get very few people accepting the truth. There are parts of the world where the believers are harvested by handfuls. There are other parts of the world where believers are harvested by busloads. But the Lord says, "Be strong. Stand up straight. Accept the power that I give you and work. I am with you. According to the word that I commanded you, you came out of Egypt, my spirit remained among you." In spite of what the remnant did in the Exodus, I never let you go. My spirit remained among you. Don't be afraid. For thus saith the Lord, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the dry land and the sea. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. It was this verse that gave, with a slightly different flavor, the title to the book, Desire of Ages. Jesus Christ is the one for whom all ages and all nations have, perhaps ignorantly, longed for. And when he comes, he will fill this house with his glory. John 1:1-14, we beheld his glory. Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God, with the glory veiled in humanity, entered this second temple, albeit prepared by Herod and others. The same temple that they were building would be the one in which the Messiah came, saith the Lord of hosts. You think that this temple is made of wood that you are cutting? Solomon's temple was lined with gold. The silver and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. And I regard the glory of this latter house greater than the glory of the former. And in this place I will give peace, for the Prince of Peace will come. A wonderful encouragement that turned their minds away from present discouraging circumstances to the ultimate fulfillment. Now verse 6 of chapter 2 has got last day overtones. He takes this prediction of the coming of the desire of ages to the final coming of the desire of ages into a more glorious temple that Paul focuses on, the temple of our bodies. And Jesus Christ is going to return in glory after the shaking time when the whole world is shaken, the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, as well as all nations. And when that shaking time is finished, then the glory of God will be seen in the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is made up of individuals. So will be fulfilled the promise that he made to these ancient people. Now notice how God meets discouragement. He doesn't deny that this second temple is, in a physical way, less glorious than the first temple. He's a realist. He knows. But he looks beyond it. And the antidote to this discouragement is work. Keep on working. If this temple takes 70 years to build, or 170 years to build, build it. My promise is that the desire of nations will one day come into this temple. And keep on working, for my assurance is that after the shaking time, the desire of all nations will fill the individual temple of the human heart. The next message came on December the 18th, in the 9th month. The other was the 7th. 2 months later, the word of the Lord came. Ask now the priests, if a priest carries the holy flesh of a sacrifice in his garment and touches anything, does that flesh sanctify? The answer is no. Now, if carrying that flesh, the priest touches a dead body, what will happen to that flesh? It will be unclean. So is this people. They are becoming contaminated. They think that because they are doing a sacred work, building a sacred building, everything they touch is therefore made holy. The answer is no, it isn't. If you touch the defiled, you become defiled. Be careful, therefore, what you touch. And this is the next consider, Verse 15. Now consider. Consider. Think through. Before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, what happened? Chapter 1, you were thinking about your own things. Then you began to consider the things of God and begin to work. Before that, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, he only found 10. When he took some olives to press out the oil, when he hoped for 50, there were only 20 vessels. I smote you with blasting and mildew and hail. And what you did with your hands came to nothing satisfying. Now, in spite of that, when I sent you a message, you didn't turn to me. But now consider, from this day and onward, since you have started to work from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Now the Lord is very practical. He says, before that you got nothing or very little. But now you started to work. Now I want you to keep a record. Consider what happens now. Is the seed yet in the barn? And the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree? They have not brought forth. This is winter. Consider, from this day, what sort of blessings I'm going to give you. Now the Lord sent another message, possibly at the same time. In the 24th day of the month, the other one was the 24th day of the month, verse 18, speak to the governor, I will shake the heavens and the earth, I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow their chariots, those that ride upon them. Horses, riders shall come down with the sword of his brother. In that day, I will take thee, Zerubbabel, my servant, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I have chosen thee. The book of Malachi says there will be jewels. The book of Zechariah says, they will be men wondered at. So the Lord bids his leader, he says, I'm going to take you as my representative, and I'm going to make you as a signet. Now when the father told the servant to bring the ring, or gave the ring to his prodigal son, that was the sign of authority. The signet ring is the check writer, is the authorization. And so the Lord says, because you are obeying me, I am going to make you my signet ring. I have chosen you. And I am going to be glorified through you. Now Zerubbabel was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. And so as David was promised a king upon his throne, Zerubbabel was given a similar promise. That a greater than the governor, the one upon whose shoulders the government of the whole nation is placed, the one who is the authorization of heaven to accomplish everything that God purposes. Now notice this message. The Lord is the Lord of hosts. He has vast armies of which we have no knowledge. The Lord is the one who sends his message on specific days, in specific months, in specific years, to meet the needs of his people. The Lord uses logic. Consider your ways. See what sort of a lifestyle you've had and what rewards you've enjoyed. And then give yourself a break. Say, I am going to obey God, and I am going to do His work. And the Lord says, consider, from the very day you make that resolution, I'm going to bless you. In other words, He's telling His people, why don't you think? Why don't you reason from cause to effect and effect to cause? And if you will do this, I will bless you. A blessing that will not be fully realized in your lifetime, because the desire of ages came in the lifetime not of that generation, but of many generations down. And the final reward, the final authorization by the Father of His Son who has come to Him by giving Him the ring will be when a greater than Zerubbabel comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Consider. Think about your life and realize that God is blessing you and that the God who calls you will empower you to do more than you ask or think.